Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
How are you doing?
You know what? I'm conflicted. Do you want to know why I'm conflicted?
I do. Very much so.
I never prepared you for this, so this
you
is...
You didn't.
Yeah, okay. So, right now I'm halfway through the Batman Telltale Series world premiere trailer. Part of me wants to buy this game.
Okay.
Part of me also wants to think backwards and say, Ryan, remember when all those Telltale games were terrible? Just because this is Batman doesn't mean it's going to be good,
i.e.
Game of Thrones. So, I don't know. Like, I'm going to wait for reviews, but I don't know if you caught any. You must have seen the screenshots. They've been floating around a lot. The trailer just came out a couple days ago, but it's the same engine. Pretty sure it's the same damn engine. I don't get it.
Which means all the exact same problems that we always have with Telltale games.
Yeah, but it's Batman too, right? Because Batman makes a lot of things better.
No, not this, Ryan. Okay. Not this. Learn your lesson. Come on.
I will cautiously wait until the reviews come out. I think episode one premieres in August, so we won't have to wait too long, but I don't know. I think if they've already ruined Game of Thrones, now they're going after Batman. I don't get it. Why are they going after my favorite?
I feel like you're going to be even more upset and more let down just by the fact that it is Batman. So I feel like you should just not just don't, right?
Yeah.
Just don't.
Well, the thing is, it's you know, they look at these reboots that are coming out in the movie theaters, and people say like, oh, it's ruining my childhood. It's like, no, video games based on your favorite properties are ruining your childhood, you know? Because you're like that Ghostbusters video game. The Ghostbusters movie that came out, the reboot, I haven't seen it yet, but it's getting great reviews. People are liking it. Calm down, internet. The video game that came out, oh man, it is getting
That's
trashed.
What you need to get mad about?
exactly. It's funny, I read an article where on the Xbox store, all the videos submitted by the community are just someone had re-edited them and put a title up saying, do not buy. So if you go to the Xbox Marketplace and look up the Ghostbusters video game, you'll see these videos that are all just gameplay, and they all say, do not buy. Clearly
marked.
Wow. So I thought that was interesting. But I hope Telltale's learned some lessons, and they make a good Batman game, but it's not even out yet, so why are we talking about it? Let's just stop talking about Batman.
Unfortunately, we don't actually have a new Batman game right now to play, but what we do have, I think this is the first actual official Ryan has Pokemon episode of Gamers Inn, right?
Mm-hmm. I do. I have Pokemon Go. It also marks the first official... I'm going to warn everybody, I'm feeling a little bit... testy today, a little salty. I've been dealing with people who, last week I think I mentioned, you know, the radio guy who went, the Pokemans. Now I'm dealing with it in real life.
Oh, you have actual people giving you shit?
Not necessarily, like, it's not like they're giving me shit. It's kind of like a 50-50, I don't get this, and, or 50% I don't get this, and 50% there are legitimate issues with Pokemon Go, and I'm going to avoid the whole, like, positivity of Pokemon Go and just focus on these small, fairly big issues that are coming up with a game that is sort of
popular. Small, big issues?
Small, big issues. Like, for example, a Pokestop being at a two-year-old's memorial site. Probably not the best place, but again, it's on Google Maps.
Okay, so in terms of locations, because I've seen this a lot, people are complaining that there are, you know, Pokestops in places that don't exist, Pokestops in places that are inappropriate potentially.
Sure.
And I guess the problem with that is that they are, the majority of them anyway, are user submitted.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was when Ingress, which is what Pokemon is based on, when that was actually a game, they had a system where you could go in and you could submit your own, like, I can't remember what I think they were like portals or something, gateways, something like that. I can't remember what the actual, like, name for it was in Ingress. But anyways, you could submit your own. And so the problem was a lot of people submitted things so that they had more portals, whatever, available in their area. But then there were so many user submissions that the team just wasn't big enough to actually go in and vet them all. So they basically just approved a whole big batch of these sites. So, I mean, like, they're supposed to be, and you can kind of tell, like, they're supposed to be kind of like points of interest. So you've got like gateways to parks, you've got community centers, you've got churches, you've got, you know, town halls, libraries, like all the things that would be populated from, say, like Google Maps. But then you also have a lot of user things. And there are some, and we've noticed just walking around, some of them are memorials, and usually they're plaques. And so I can kind of see, like, the one I'm thinking of in our area is like, it's basically a playground, and it's got this big, huge metal rocket, and that is a Pokestop. And it's like, it's meant to be played on. So I can kind of see how, you know, that is appropriate versus like a memorial for a child, which, I mean, obviously I don't know the circumstances around, but it just like, it's, yes, they probably should have gone through their database and kind of like culled some of these locations before launch, and maybe in places that didn't have a lot of stops, they could have added more in just like on the corner of two streets or something.
Yeah, and it's, if you read the article, you know, it looks at from both points of view, where one side is the mother of the child saying, like, this is disrespectful, I don't know why they have this, and really just laying into the company. And to Niantic's defense, like you said, a lot of it's user generated, and also there are forms in place to remove Pokestops. And there's some miscommunication out there where articles are saying the company is refusing to remove these spots, which is just blatantly not true, because there's clearly a form saying submit an improper Pokestop, and the memorial, if you have a memorial for your deceased child and you want to remove it, that is up to you. If you know, there was another family member that said, like, on one hand, it's our site, it's meant to remember our child, but on the other hand, people are having fun playing a game around and just enjoying this space that is dedicated. So you can look at it from both ways, but at the end of the day, I think it needs to be that person's choice whether it's a stop.
And again, like, not to belittle anyone's grief or anything like that, but I feel like if you have a memorial for someone in a public space, and public is key, if this is like, you know, because I've seen some things in cemeteries, and I think that that's kind of an iffy place, because technically, yes, it's public, but at the same time, there's an element of privacy. Like, technically, you own the plot of land where your loved one is buried. So I feel like cemeteries is a gray area, but I feel like if you have like a tree in a park, or, you know, something else, like, you chose to put a memorial in a public place, so my way of thinking, you should be happy that your community is getting out and using that public space.
Yeah, and it's this specific instance was a plaque at a church, and I've noticed around my neck of the woods, most of the Pokestops are churches. Some misinformation is that a lot of folks who aren't actively playing the game, one had mentioned to me that her husband works at a nuclear facility, which isn't a Pokestop, but people are going to the nuclear facility. It might actually be a Pokestop. I never checked, but they're going to the facility and they're using their cameras, which is a security concern. And security officers need to come out and say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, we're playing a video game. Oh, maybe go do it in the park, not in front of the nuclear facility that clearly has signs, do not record in front of this place. It's a national security issue, right? Yeah. And my answer to that is like, well, you put something that's free to play in the hands of the country, you're going to hit some stupid people who are, or just people who, stupid may be strong, again, like I said, I'm feeling so hot. Maybe people who are just very enthusiastic and happen to say, hey, I'm going to just go all over the place, and then found themselves in front of a location they weren't aware of. And really, just be aware of your surroundings.
I was going to say, this totally comes back to last week's discussion about being aware of your surroundings, you know?
Like, there's lots of space.
This is a little bit more of a not necessarily public safety thing, but just a respect and a trespassing, be aware of your surroundings
kind of a
conversation.
There's so much park area. There's so many places where you can go and play this game and not get hurt that you really don't need to venture into areas where you shouldn't feel comfortable playing the game, like a graveyard or a memorial site that is a little more like not as public. Like
be respectful.
Exactly.
You know, no matter where you are, it doesn't even matter if you're in the front of a community center. Like if there's 50 of you there, it's it's not really respectful of the space. So just be aware of your surroundings and be respectful.
Yeah.
So outside of actual, I guess, locational issues with Pokestops. What else have you, like, what's your experience been so far with the app?
So I'm personally not going as gangbusters as a lot of folks. Like, I'm enjoying aspects of the game, and I'm going for walks, I'm hatching eggs, I'm catching Pokemon when I can, but I'm not, like, I don't find myself actively going out to do that. I'm just sort of...
So you and Ashley aren't, like, me and Matt going on poke dates?
No, and you know what? I've been going for walks and stuff and playing here and there, and it can be frustrating because the first time I played it, we were in Walmart, and we're walking, and all of a sudden I'd stop. Oh, wait, I gotta catch a Pokemon. Okay, I gotta catch a Pokemon. And she'd be like, oh, come on. it goes back to the conversation of being respectful and a time and a place, and trying to help grocery shop is not one of those instances. So I'm even at fault of the people that I'm complaining about. But when I a couple times I've gone out to specifically play the game, and I've been really just having a fun time. Like, the game isn't, you know, the greatest thing ever made, but it's neat, and I can appreciate the fact that if I was like little kid Ryan and this game came out, oh man, I would be over the moon. And I've seen kids walking around where I work. It's right on a trail, and I've seen kids like just walking about and having a great time. And that's not to say this experience should be solely enjoyed by kids. I think that even at work, I had said, like, yeah, I've been playing, I've been checking in on spots and catching Pokemon here and there. I haven't really been into the gym experience. Mm-hmm. I think the battling is kind of weird and fun.
It's very simplistic, and I think, really, I mean, everything that we've talked about that has been kind of issues with Pokemon Go really, I think, stem from the fact that it really seems like they rushed it out. So they could have gone in and they could have gone through their database and looked at all their Pokestops and said, okay, these are appropriate, these are inappropriate, here's everything that was flagged through our mapping software, here's everything that was user-generated, let's, you know, like, separate them into two groups and look at all the user stuff, because the map stuff is probably legitimate. So, you know, there's those kind of steps they could have taken in order to make the app a little bit better before they released it. But at the same time, everybody wanted it. So even though there's things like, you know, trading, battling friends, just more complicated combat in gym battles, all of these things probably would have made Pokemon a better game, but people wanted to do it. They just wanted it in their hands. So I feel like the game was rushed.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're playing it right now, but I feel like it was rushed.
And I want to state that, like, I'm enjoying my time with it. I, like a lot of people who might have been like, fine, I'll try it. And then they try it and it's like, there are aspects of it that are really cool, but they might not feel like this is not going to light my phone on fire. But I've told people who have phones, like, give it a shot. There is something in there for you just because you're reading all the features of the game. And, like, the gym battles for me, it's not my thing. Like, Jim in the chat room saying he does it purely as an exercise thing. And I think that's where I've enjoyed my time with it, where you're going out, you're catching Pokemon as you see them. You're checking once in a while. You're not having your phone out in front of you the entire time. I'm pretty sure that's walking counts, right?
Okay. As long as you have the app open. And actually, I'm really, really excited about the like the $40 bracelet thingy.
What does that do? Because I need to look that up. It's not just basically a fashion accessory, right?
No, it's whenever there's anything that is inside your pulsy circle thing, then it automatically does the catching for you.
So it does the automatic catching? That's the thing I haven't been able to to sort out. I'm just looking it up now because...
So I'm sure you can probably tell it, like, to use Pokeballs and then, or use Great Balls or, you know, whatever. So you just kind of resign yourself to the fact that it's going to automate it. So you're going to catch a lot of Pidgeys and Rattatas, and those are crappy, but you might, you know, catch other things as well. And that's great. So it will let people walk and bike and rollerblade and whatever they're doing while doing Pokemon. So you don't have the phone right in your face. Like, so, I can't wait to just, you know, be able to go from point A to point B, which is like, because usually what we do is we, you know, walk or drive or whatever to where we want to catch Pokemon. And then we start doing like the nearby thing and trying to actually find them. So like it's the getting to the place where I want to do my Pokemon hunting that I wish was automated. Like, so I was still, you know, getting credit without having it up in my face. So
yeah. So it looks like the Pokemon Go Plus. Yeah. Like you said, it will allow you to check into Pokestops without, I don't know if it has to have the app open, because
I assume obviously it does, because it doesn't count your steps if the app is closed.
Right. Well, sorry. Yeah. I don't know if you have to have the app running on screen, like open.
Well, yeah, that's it. No. I mean, running on screen. Like, if you have the app open, but it's not your like main app, it's not counting any of your distance.
Can I lock the screen and put it back in my pocket? So that doesn't count as steps. Well, that's why
the only thing that counts is if you have the app open. You can go into battery save mode, but it's really buggy right now. So you can put it in battery save mode. And essentially what that does is when you put your phone down, so when it senses like the down motion, then it will turn your screen black. So it doesn't turn your phone off or your screen off. It just makes the app black. So then you're not using as much, you know, battery with the backlight and the everything else. But technically, your screen is still on and your phone is still on and the app is still open. It's just in battery saving mode. But a lot of the times when you bring it back up again, it's frozen. So you have to close the app anyway. And then it may or may not have counted your steps. But well, no, if the app is your secondary, like even if it's open on your phone, if it's not like active, then it's not counting anything.
Okay. Well, then that's one issue I've experienced with the game, because I'm a numbers to me really bother me, so I like have to shut my screen off. I like, I don't want my battery to die, but I have the 6S Plus, and it's like that battery will last forever if I let it. So I have to have the screen running. Vent in the chat room is saying you can only throw a Pokeball with the Pokemon Go Plus if you've caught it before.
That makes sense.
So if you have to have your phone out, what's the point in having the bracelet?
Well, I imagine that the bracelet will do it for you without you having to have your phone out. But again, like, we don't have the bracelet, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't even think we can... Actually, now that Pokemon Go is out in Canada, it would be really interesting to see if we can actually get the bracelet. But I couldn't even find, like, pre-orders for the bracelet.
They've gone up for pre... I've seen a couple, like, in the Amiibo Canada subreddit, they've been now posting... pre-orders for all kinds of Nintendo items, and the one that I keep seeing kind of pop up here and there is the Pokemon Go. So the next time I see it, I'll send you a link. I think EB Games has done their pre-orders. Walmart's done their pre-orders. I don't know if Amazon has. So there's still an option. But yeah, I don't know if I'll get the bracelet. I'll probably wait to hear what you think, and then I'll go from there. But yeah, my experience, I have a route at work where I can go for an hour walk and basically hit like 10 Pokestops, 5 on the way up and then 5 on the way back, and they refresh as you go. So I can't hit the one at the peak twice, but on the ones on the way back to work, I can hit twice because they refresh like...
It's every 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. So that's less than I thought. So 5 minutes. So the issue I've been having that I haven't really been exploring is the nearby Pokemon thing. Do you find that works? Like when you see the three steps?
It used to. I feel like when they put in an update, which was, I think, to fix the Google Authenticator thing, whenever that update was last week, I feel like ever since then, it's told me that all Pokemon are 3 steps away.
See, yeah, I haven't... when I first started playing, before the update, I was seeing 1 step, 2 step, 3 steps,
I haven't seen a 1 or 2 step Pokemon, but I've caught tons. Okay. So, I mean... Yeah, I think it still works in terms of, like, so, because I've seen Pokemon go from, like, further away and they kind of move up the list. So I think that part's still working. I just think that the distance estimate is wrong. So if you ignore the 1, 2, and 3 steps, like if you ignore the step icon and just look at the Pokemon and say like, okay, the top left corner is the closest Pokemon to me and the bottom right corner is the furthest away. And then as they move through that list, if you look at a Pokemon that you really want to catch, if you can walk in a direction that keeps it in the top left corner, eventually you'll find it. You just don't know. Like, so you just have to assume that like nearby is within, you know, a 5-minute walk max.
Okay. Yeah. I have not done a lot of like poke searching.
Like hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done much of the hunting, and maybe that's what I'm missing out on. It would be nice to go out and do some hunting, especially now that the game's out. I'm seeing a lot more folks out there enjoying it. There's a gym just outside the office, and I can kind of step into a manager's office and kind of look out the window and see like 3 or 4 people like battling at the gym and having a great time. And that's exciting to see people enjoying this game. And it's just nice to see a Nintendo game, a Nintendo property with a bunch of people just having a great time and getting that mainstream attention again.
And you know why it's getting that mainstream attention? Because everyone already has the hardware. And I'm going to say this every freaking episode of Gamers In, because we didn't have to go buy something special in order to play Pokemon Go.
Yep.
Everyone had a smartphone. You just get it on your smartphone. Get it on your smartphone.
smartphone. I mean, maybe you have a special case for it that like made by Nerf, but I agree. Like, of course, if you release a popular game on a device that a lot of people own, specifically iOS and Android, of course it's going to be hitting everybody and everywhere, and it's been doing gangbusters, and hopefully Nintendo follows up with that momentum with a really great Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem iOS game. That would be fantastic. I don't know if they'll do it, but it's like saying like, there's this great Xbox game, everyone should go buy an Xbox, but if you release it on PC, more people could enjoy it. I don't know. I think that the game works well for the device it's on, and that's something that Nintendo says they want to do in releasing games for the platform. So the camera and the GPS and the constant connection, they've built a game kind of perfect for that platform. Would Pokemon Go work on a 3DS? Probably not at all. Or any sort of dedicated handheld system. But I'm enjoying it. I love the concept. I can't wait to play more of it.
Good.
But I'm sick of the negativity around it. I can't wait until it's over that hump where it's not sort of, what's the word, like in the mainstream news. Like I there's a new article every day.
Yeah, that's true.
I want it to go over. I don't want it to be less successful, but I kind of want to make it over that hump so I don't have to. Yes, I'm playing Pokemon Go. Yes, I'm hatching eggs by walking. No, I will not show you my cool Pokemon collection if you're going to make fun of me.
Just to wrap this up, because Pokemon Go, we've literally been talking about it for 20 minutes now, and it's not even really on our list of things to talk about today.
Sure it is.
But okay, so Jim in the chat room is giving a very, very good tip that I do want to mention, that if you are looking to save on data and you are looking to save on battery life, the best thing to do is go into your Google Maps, go to offline mode, and you can actually download your local area to your phone. So I downloaded my local area. I think it was somewhere around 100 megabytes, but by now doing that, I have like the 3 cities around me. And so as long as I am at home / in my general area, neighborhood, town, whatever, then I'm not actually downloading map data all the time. So
does that apply to that? So wait, even on iOS where the apps sort of are segregated like that still?
Yep.
Oh, weird.
As long as if you have Google Maps, not Apple Maps.
No, I know that, it's just weird that,
because it pulls from the Android or the Google Maps API.
Right.
So it's using, if you have the information already on your phone, it's not constantly trying to pull from the server.
Oh, wow. That's really
cool. So that will save you a lot of battery and a lot of data. So
I will do that. I will do that. I just figured that it was an Android thing because iOS is so like, you will not talk to other apps.
All right. So speaking of a lot of data, we got a pre-patch in World of Warcraft this week.
20 gigs?
Yeah, it was pretty freaking huge, because basically it is all of the Legion content without the Legion content actually being activated, but all of the kind of quality of life changes, and like the new transmog system in particular, and as well all of the class changes. Oh my god, I logged in after pre-patch, and normally I have like a grid of 12 buttons. There were 5 spells left. Like, all the other button spaces were just clear, gone. I thought that my, like, game had crashed, but no, they just completely redid everything. I have no idea what the hell my Marksman Hunter is supposed to do now. I was so confused. You have to repick all your talents. Glyphs are gone. Oh, my God. It was just, it was insane. Yeah.
They got rid of glyphs? Insane.
Yes, completely.
So what are they replacing glyphs with? That's been around for expansions. Like,
it's talents. It's just your talents. So they basically built in, because the thing is, and they got rid of like raid wide buffs too. So like, if you would have to buff like stamina and haste and crit and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, everyone was constantly min maxing that. So everyone had the same set of glyphs. Everyone had the same like raid buffs. You made sure that your comp for your raid was so that everyone would get all of the buffs that they needed in order to be successful. So Blizzard just went, everyone's doing it anyway. This is kind of dumb. Why don't we just build it into your talents?
Okay.
So that's basically what they did. So you still have your talent every 15 levels. They're just a little bit different now. So.
Yeah, and I'm the type of player in when I resubbed a World of Warcraft every 1.5 years. I really dislike that extra layer of, oh, I have to go out and find this specific item to add to my character. And sometimes that's like on the auction house, or I borrow it from a friend, or I have to get a friend to enchant my weapons. And they don't have enchanting in the game anymore, do they? Did they get rid of that?
Enchanting's still there, I think. Okay. I'm not sure. I didn't get deep enough to go into professions. Basically, I was just trying to figure out what my potential rotation would look like. And I did a lot of stuff with the transmox. And Ventigo in the chat room right now is saying that technically there are still gifts. Or gifts.
Oh, man. Gifts. Did they add gifts to the game? That'd be great. Could you imagine if you could create your own gifts and then, meme it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, Ryan, stop.
Okay, sorry.
glyphs, but it's cosmetic stuff. So I didn't even know that there were any glyphs at all. Because I had, I guess, Tomes of the Clear Mind or whatever, the thing that wipes old glyphs and old talents and lets you put new ones in. I had those in my bag. Same with some Flasks of Conquest and, all the stuff that I was really into just got turned into gold. I'm sad.
Okay. Now, my next question is, the expansion launches in a month and 10 days, right?
Yes.
Do I resub, effectively giving Blizzard 2 months of my money to play the expansion instead of maybe one? So I don't resub.
Don't bother right now. Okay. Honestly, I was so disappointed. And partly, the disappointment is partly on me because it's not like Blizzard hasn't put very much information out there. It's been on the PTR forever. You could literally go in and see all the things. And I was trying to stay spoiler free, so I didn't look into anything. And I was expecting some sort of story content. I was expecting, you know how they had pre-Warlords, they had the Blasted Lands quest line at the Dark Portal. And
Yeah.
I like that too. And that's what I thought that we were getting with the pre-patch. And apparently there's supposed to be some story stuff in the next couple of weeks. But I logged in on Tuesday all ready to do some questing and kind of fill in the gap because I read the Illidan book. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, but it covers the time in Burning Crusade. So it was really, really interesting because it was like the Burning Crusade from Illidan's point of view. So tying it into events that you played through in the game and seeing that timeline was really cool. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't fill in the gap between Draenor and Legion. So you've got Warlords, and then there's this big chunk of time somehow, I don't even know what happened to get us back to Azeroth, and that might be because the furthest I progressed in raiding was right up to Archimonde. We couldn't kill him, so I never saw the final cutscene, but it just feels like there was absolutely no point in going to Draenor. I don't even know why that expansion happened. It was just it just fell flat on its face from a story standpoint.
Which is weird, because I remember when it came out, we were all over it. It was the best thing ever. And I stopped playing before people found the pitchforks and torches, which it was a really odd phenomenon for me, because it was Draenor came out, Loved it for like 3 months. Everyone was just over the moon. I stopped playing because that's usually when I jump out, when I, you know, get distracted or play something else. And then people just turned on it.
It's because it did a really good job of telling the story of Thrall and Garrosh. Like, sure. And that was the questing. And the problem was, after you stopped questing, like, Garrosh had been the focus of the questing. And there, you never really, like, the, there was nothing with, like, the warlords. They were all very, very similar, and they shouldn't have been. Like, they were these one-dimensional characters that sometimes stood out, but sometimes didn't, and maybe had a little, like, nod to their lore, but they could have gone so much deeper and done so many super cool things, and they just didn't. And then there was no content for, like, over a year. So it just, the whole entire warlord story just fell completely flat.
So
the chasing Garrosh and them building up the Iron Horde and us fighting them back, you know, that whole story came to a head. It was amazing. The cinematic was phenomenal. But that was when you hit level 100. And then there was, like, no story after that.
And it's almost like they built that game for players like me who have who want to come in, play for 3 months, have a great time with friends, and say, okay, I'm out. See you in the next expansion. And I feel like if they were targeting those players, Legion should have launched at the very least in the fall last year.
Yeah.
You know,
it just, and it seems like with Pandaria, Pandaria had these constant content patches where the world was forever changed. There was, you know, 5.2 when they just blew up the Veil of Eternal Blossoms, and then 5.3 was the Rebellion, and then you had Siege of Orgrimmar. You had this amazing Christy Golden book that tied together what happened in Pandaria to what happened in Warlords. But not only that, you had the questing, so you actually went down to the Dark Portal in the pre-patch, and you got to see us, like, we have to chase Garrosh. This is where he's gone. And, you know, this is what he's going to do. He's going to try to get old Draenor and mount the Iron Horde and invade Azeroth. And, you know, like, I meant mount an offensive with the Iron Horde. I only got about a half a sentence out there, but you know what I mean?
I understand.
You know, it was this very fluid, very well-told story. And then we got into Draenor and we finished the Garrosh story. And then nothing happened, and nothing has tied together what the hell we're doing in Legion. They have this super amazing cinematic, and this is another reason I was still totally hyped. As soon as you logged in on Tuesday, they showed you the cinematic, which is the cinematic that we saw at BlizzCon. It's so freaking good. It's Varian, and it's Sylvanas, and they're, you know, Alliance and Horde fighting side by side. There's this gigantic infernal, and I'm just like, last time I checked, we were, you know, like, in Draenor. Like, why are we back on Azeroth? When did that happen? What's going on? There's this big chunk of time that's missing. So as amazing as it was to see that cinematic and get, like, I mean, I got goosebumps again, and I've seen it already. People, it was like, so that good cinematic, but I was just like, how, what, huh?
So that's really odd, because Blizzard's supposed to be this great company at telling a story, and one of the better video game companies that utilizes not video games to tell and bridge a story. And your example of Mists of Pandaria to Draenor with the book filling this key point with more details. But for me, having not read the book, it still worked, and it was still an amazing transition. And it just worked with it. And maybe it's because Garrosh has been building up from Burning Crusade to Draenor, and he worked as that link between those expansions. And when you take him out of the equation, you're left with, well, what's your bridge? Gul'dan? Like, Gul'dan's still alive, right?
So Warlords, Warlords Gul'dan is alive. Obviously, previous Gul'dan is already dead. Warlords Gul'dan is technically still alive. And he, from what I can understand, escaped. But again, like, I know that from, like, Legion teasers, not from actual, like, in-game stuff. And War Crimes is great because not only did it tie the two expansions together, but it also gave you a lot of information about things that have happened in the past, things that I didn't even know. The death of Karen was one of them, because I wasn't playing the game when that happened. So, you know, like, I didn't even realize that there had been a Tauren chieftain before Bane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, it was just, it filled in a lot of gaps that were existed in my knowledge. So the book was just so fantastic. But because a lot of the meat of that was, it was just Garrosh's trial. So basically all you needed to know out of that was they captured him at the end of Siege of Orgrimmar. He was tried, and before he could be sentenced or convicted or whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. then he actually escaped. So you have to know that we caught him and he escaped, and he escaped with the help of the Bronze Dragons to, or sorry, a Bronze Dragon to a different timeline. So that's essentially all you needed to know out of the book.
So, okay, I don't understand people who make fun of Doctor Who, because that's easier to follow than what you just, like, a dragon busted him out of jail, and then he went back in time with the dragon.
Well, so basically what they did is they, and we're getting way, way off on a tangent here.
This is
here,
important, because this is like, you're looking at the storyline between Mists of Pandaria mm-hmm. and Draenor, and then looking at what we have now, there's no time travel. It's almost like there's this void of information, and I kind of feel like with Draenor, they did this switch where they're making a game for people like me who sub for 3 months, and then they kind of, like, left the diehards who don't lapse their subscription out to dry. And what if they do that again? What if they come out with Legion, and there are systems in place that will make the wait/complain for the next patch easier, because there's, like, a new PvP system and dynamic questing, and I think there was, dynamic leveling as well, where the content raises your level, so you mm-hmm. can literally do all the content without having to worry about just poking things and having them die. That's really great. But mm-hmm. what if they do that again, where it's just they build this game that caters to the 3 month people and doesn't come out with these momentous patches for folks like you that want to continue to play the game regularly for the next mm-hmm. year and a half?
I love Warcraft so much. I wish that there was more to experience in the lore that wasn't put behind the wall of a raid, because raiding is just not what I do. I will quest until the end of time, but raiding is just really not my thing. I do it because I have friends that I want to play with and they like raiding, but in terms of, like, doing the same fight over and over again to grind for gear for little tidbits of lore, like, no thank you. I'd rather go kill 50 of something than the same thing week after week after week. So raiding is really not my thing, and a lot of the story of Draenor was tied by, like, put behind this wall of the legendary quest line, which you could only complete if you grinded the raid. I don't know. Anyways. Mm-hmm. but yeah, so I'm so disappointed in Warlords, because you had this amazing tie between Pandaria and Warlords, and then absolutely nothing now. And I don't know why they didn't just release the story with the pre-patch, because it would be so much better if I could have just, like, you know, all the pre-patch hype, yay, it's happening, and then I go in and there's a cinematic of the end of Hellfire Citadel, and then some sort of, like, going back through the portal and maybe taking our allies from Draenor with us, because I don't even understand where everybody went. Like, there was no reason to save Draenor. It's like we just poured all of our resources into a war, and then, like, nobody's coming back with us? Like, none of the Draenei are coming back? Like, none of anybody? The Frostwolves? Like, Durotan? Is he not coming back to help us? Like, we're all fighting the Legion now.
Well, see, I think the idea there is that Gul'dan's out of his timeline. Durotan's like, your problem now.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay here, raise not Green Thrall, because he's cool like that, and then you guys can fight it 2 expansions later. Thrall v. Thrall, Krav Maga, or whatever they... no, that's not it. What is the orc?
Magmatosh. I can't remember.
No. Anyways,
I'm excited about Legion. The honorable fight to the death.
Oh, well, he used lightning. That's not honorable, is it?
Sure it is. That's his power.
Well, I feel like a sense of deja vu, like of a year and a half ago. And this is the thing, if Blizzard is going to release these more story-oriented expansions that deal with the glutton of content coming in the first 3 months and then trickling out until the next expansion comes out, they need to be quicker. Like, I'd say a year maximum, you know?
Well, I think the problem is they still haven't settled on just their game systems that work for everybody. And that's almost impossible to do, I think. But it seems like they keep pouring so many resources into revamping talents, the new transmog system, you know, like giving us new character models, all of these things that make the game more playable, but they're not focusing on just getting a story out there. And I'm looking forward to an iteration of the game where they're like, finally, like, we've solved all the major problems. This is World of Warcraft. This is the base game. And now we can take our base game. And you would think after, what, 11 years, they'd have a freaking base game by now. But anyways, that's a whole other thing. But you would think that, like, hopefully they will have a base game where then they can just say, okay, we don't have to tweak the mechanics. There are always going to be balance tweaks. But, you know, here's the way our transmog works. Here's the way our, you know, gear system works. Here's the way our PvP system works. Here's how talents work. Don't freaking touch it again. Just leave it alone. And just build story and give me an expansion every year, because all you have to focus on is building a story and building a world. Can we just do that, please?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is they boosted the cost of the expansions by, like, I think it was $10, which I know a lot of folks, you know, expansions coming out for the last 10 years at the same cost. Of course, they should probably go up in price eventually. But still, there was sort of an idea behind, well, if you're asking for more money, there should be some sort of like added value. And what do you think happens if Legion comes out and we run into the same issue where by December we're not talking about how great Legion is and how it's another Draenor where we're running into these issues? Do you think they've learned their lesson based on what they've been talking about?
I hope so, because, well, the thing is, I know the thing that's going to keep me playing is going to be their PvP prestige system, and I am going to, just based on what I did in Draenor, which was I just PvP'd. I played Ashran all of the time. That's what kept me going back into Warcraft. So I think that their PvP system is going to keep me going, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to play it. They're going to, you know, just drop, and they may come back for other raid patches. They may not. And if they do the same thing as Draenor, I think they're just going to lose a ton of subscribers, and that's going to be it. And I don't necessarily think Warcraft is ever really going to die, because I think that they're always going to have what a lot of people consider to be a successful MMO. There's a lot of MMOs out there that, you know, like, have a fairly decent sized, you know, 1 or 2 million subscribers, players, whatever, and they're considered a success. So. Yeah. I think that Warcraft still has a whole lot to drop before we even hit those kind of numbers. Yeah. So I think it will always be a viable game. But if they end up doing with Legion what they did with Warlords, then we're going to be talking about 2 million people playing Warcraft as if that's an amazing feat.
Oof. Well, yeah. I have faith that just based on the fact that they've had an issue like this before, where Diablo 3 comes out, not so hot, Reaper of Souls comes out, people love it, and now Reaper of Souls is kind of continuing to exist for years as this fun game that people enjoy. And I think Blizzard knows what they're doing, and if you look at sort of where they were at when Draenor came out, there might have been some shifting of resources to make Overwatch actually ship other products that they're working on, and rightfully so, because I read a great article where WoW basically killed the StarCraft Ghost game. It just absorbed the team to make WoW in a releasable state. So it kind of ebbs and flows, and when you have such a big game like WoW and a big company making lots of different games, you're gonna have resources shift, and maybe with Legion they've put more back into WoW, but of course we won't know until August 30th,
yeah. So, and I will say I played around a lot with the transmog system, and the transmog system is phenomenal. It is very well done. It's basically, if you've ever used the add-on called Mogget, it's basically the same thing. So it will show you a progress bar at the top that tells you how many unique appearances you have collected. And then it's, there's a big window that shows you, I think, I want to say about 12 at a time. And it shows you a picture of what that specific appearance looks like. And you can just click on the appearances. You don't have to have the gear anymore. It's pulled everything. Any wow. piece of gear that your character has ever equipped is counted in the transmog system. So if you got it 10 years ago as a quest reward when you were level 5, it's in the transmog system.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and you so you don't have to have anything in your bank, you don't have to have anything in your bags, and what actually happens, so, but you do have to equip it. If you just, like, previewed it on your character, it doesn't count. You did actually have to wear it, because I guess that's the database they're pulling from. So it will actually show you if you have a piece of gear in your bank or in your bag, and you hover over it, and it's anything, I don't think it counts grays and whites, I think it's greens, blues, purples, and legendary items, but... if you hover over a piece in your bag, it will say either nothing, or it will have kind of like a little light kind of gray purpley text, and it will say you have not collected this appearance yet. So then you have to equip that item, and then it'll put it into your transmog collection, and then you can unequip it and you can sell it.
Hmm.
So it's really, really, really cool. Yeah, so... if it's, vent in the chat room's right. Yeah, if it's soulbound, you have to wear the bind on equip stuff. Yeah, so again, excuse me, picking it up won't do it. You have to actually equip the things. But, like, quest rewards count, like, all of that stuff. Anything that you picked up off of, like, raid bosses, like, all that kind of stuff, as long as you equipped it and so basically made it soulbound, then it counts and it's in this transmog database. So, for instance... I think I logged in and I got 4 or 5 achievements for, they're called the Fashionista achievements. And it's like you have collected, I think it was like 100 weapon appearances was the achievement. And then there it was something like 200 capes, I think, or 200 back pieces, 100 legs, 100 chests, like 100 helms. And so you get an achievement for each different slot.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's really, really cool. They've done a really good job, and you can just basically scroll through all of these pictures of all of the transmog that you have. You just click on all the stuff that you want. You can see it in the live preview, and then there's a button that says apply, and you can just apply it. You can save appearances. So I have my transmog that I'm wearing right now is a lot of stuff from Firelands. So I just called it Fiery.
Nice.
And then so I can just pick from that and apply it to any... gear that I'm currently wearing. So yeah, it's super, super easy to use. It's really, really smooth. They did a fantastic job. I'm also really excited about the new PvP system, but unfortunately you can't start earning honor stuff until you're level 110, which means it's not actually available until Legion, and it's not actually available till your max level. So I'm going to be doing some power leveling on my hunter. I kind of wish that you were able to get your honor, I can't remember what they're actually calling it because currencies are gone. So,
right.
But yeah, your honor XP, I wish you could grind that in Battlegrounds while you were leveling up, but you have to wait till max level, but that's still fine because I was max level within the first week of Warlords. So
it'll give you something to do once you've gotten through the initial chunk of content. And I was just looking up the pre-patch or pre-expansion patch details, and it looks like around the second or third week of August, no later than August 17th, you'll start seeing invasions coming in, and they'll intensify week by week until the game comes out. So it looks like you're not going to see that pre-expansion story related stuff until mid-August.
Yeah, which again was just, it was a little bit of a disappointment. And again, super, that it was probably my fault for not paying more attention, but I basically was not paying any attention on purpose because I didn't want things spoiled for me, because I did have one major plot point spoiled, and I still don't know how that thing that I now know happens. I don't know how it came about, and that's also what's kind of frustrating me, is I thought that I was going to get lore answers, and I just got no lore whatsoever. So anyways...
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the actual story is, but the quality of life stuff that they've done in the pre-patch is really cool. Transmog system was cool. Trying to figure out what the hell my new rotation is going to be, that was kind of neat too, because I haven't had that experience for a while. So
Well, I'm
overall, you should get in and check it out. But it's definitely not something, if you're not currently subbed to WoW, like, don't bother. Just wait until mid-August when actual story stuff starts happening.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing.
Have you pre-ordered Legion already?
Not yet. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I'll certainly pre-order it. I just, I guess if I'm not playing, there's no point in throwing money at it until I resub.
With the pre-order, mm-hmm. you get a boost, and I'm not sure if it's just when you buy Legion you get a boost, or if it's with the pre-order you get a boost. But
I think it's one a pre-order way or offer.
Okay, one way or the other, you get a boost. And so if you want the boost, then that would be something worth doing before August. I leveled a paladin to just over level 60. I can't remember exactly what it was, 61 or 62. And then I boosted her. So I'm ready to heal, which is going to be cool. But yeah, so I have lots of pre-patch, lots of gear type stuff to do. So
I don't even think I used the boost that I got for pre-order Draenor. Like,
oh, really?
I fell off hard on that game. Like, I usually sub play the game when it comes out and then go away for like 6 months, then come back like, ooh, wow. And I didn't in the last year. I did not resub at all, which probably goes in line with a lot of other people's experience mm-hmm. with the game in terms of the content not being there. But it's still kind of weird and to think that that's still sitting on my account. I could probably do it. It might be nice to do it for a character and start, you know, not just continue to play as a warlock. Mm-hmm. Although a warlock in Legion kind of works with the Burning Crusade and stuff, but
there's Demon Hunters now too, so there's that whole new class, which is I think potentially really cool, and that's what the Illidan book actually kind of sets up, is who are the Demon Hunters and why, you know, because like we haven't seen them at all in Warcraft yet, so this explains why we haven't seen any Demon Hunters in Warcraft yet. So
can I boost a Demon Hunter once I've gone through the initial quest, or?
You know, I'm not 100% sure how the Demon Hunters actually work in Warcraft. I have not looked at that at all. Preoccupied just with my main, with my hunter, so I don't know too much about creating new characters or alts or whatever. But sure. Speaking of new characters, there is a new character. This is going to be like the longest show we've had in years, by the way, people.
There's nothing going on, but evidently we still love to talk about video games.
Going on. It's because there's stuff going on with freaking Blizzard, that's why.
Sure.
So speaking of new characters, there is a new character in Overwatch. This is the first one that has come out since the game went live. Her name is Anna, and she is a sniper support hero. Which, one thing I do like about Overwatch is they do tend to bend traditional roles. Sure. So, you know, you have tanks that do damage, you have snipers that are healers, you have, you know, just all these kind of, like, supports that can also do damage, supports mm-hmm. that do things that aren't healing but are still supporty. Like, they're really thinking outside of the box in terms of their heroes, and they're not just saying, like, you deal damage from a distance. You deal damage from a distance with a different weapon. You deal damage from a distance with the same weapon, but a different skin. Like, they're really thinking outside the box. And so I'm really enjoying Overwatch again. I'm only enjoying in solo queue right now. I'm not, anytime I go in with friends, like, everyone's way better than me and I'm just not enjoying it. But when I solo queue, I'm enjoying it. So I actually tried Anna today.
Sure.
Holy shit, she's hard.
Oh.
She's really, really hard.
it's kind of a combination of something I'm not good at and something I love to do, which is I love to heal in that game, but I'm terrible at sniping.
I was talking to my roommate Adam, and because mm-hmm. he is a huge, huge, huge fan of Overwatch, he plays the crap out of it every chance he gets, and he said that sniping in Overwatch is much more difficult than sniping in other games, and I think it's because of a lot of the mobility of the characters, and they just generally move quicker, and it feels different than a lot of other straight-up shooters.
Sure.
So when you add the pressure of healing to a character that's already difficult to play in that it's a sniper, because, I mean, and when I say sniper, I am not looping or lumping Hanzo in. I am thinking specifically Widowmaker, because sure. she is, like, the closest thing, like, basically she and Anna are like and friends turned bitter enemy type things. Oh yeah, they have a whole, I don't know, did you watch the origin story videos for Anna? You really should, because
they're, did.
Like, yeah, they're good.
I didn't catch that they were like friends, like, did she like fall into a vat of acid and her skin turned purple? Is that what happened? Like, well, Joker Batman style?
Yeah, Widowmaker has a whole other backstory, basically, where she was brainwashed and made to kill her husband, and it's all like she
Who's
was
her part husband.
Of, well, he's dead. So well, we don't okay, ever well, see him.
Who's her husband from before he was dead? Because he was a person.
His name was, I think, George, I think.
George of the Jungle. Okay.
Yeah.
The backstory for these characters is just so well, like, thought out and put together.
I want, like, an Overwatch movie, or I want an Overwatch single-player game, something. I need just... Because these shorts are amazing, and there's, like, little bits and pieces. There's comics out there. You know, like, I've actually had to read, like, whole articles to understand the lore behind Overwatch. And I really wish it was just one big story somewhere. You know, like, just give me everything and stop making me get little pieces and trying to put them in a timeline. Like, just tell me the story of Overwatch, please.
Do you want what they did for Zelda, the Zelda timeline, but the Overwatch timeline?
Kind of, yeah. But even then, every Zelda story had a start-to-finish story. Overwatch is just everywhere. Like, you literally can't keep up with that story.
I want a BlizzCon announcement for Overwatch story mode. Something that takes the story and builds a game around it. Or a game mode, not just... Oh, there's a bunch of random, you know, Winstons, and that's not, like, the multiplayer is not story. It's just enjoying the characters that you have.
Yeah.
But I'm still standing by my word that I would love some sort of mode strictly for the story mode. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a time, like, looking back at the Omnic Wars,
I want to know the original Overwatch story. I want to know what happened to everybody from the time that Overwatch was disbanded and their headquarters blew up all the way up until now, with the whole recall with Winston. I want to know all of that stuff and how they got to be who they are in Overwatch. But anyways, so we do actually have the Anna, the new hero.
Sure.
And it is difficult to snipe. The thing with Anna, you just have to hit your teammates, I think. You don't have to go for, like, critical headshots, because basically you're shooting them with, like, nano Healy syringe bot things. So basically you have your first ability, which is the sleeper dart thing.
Okay.
So you can put a character to sleep, which is really helpful when people are going into crazy alts like Die 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 or High Noon. And then her second ability is a grenade, which will, it's like an AoE, it will heal and your allies and damage your enemies and also prevent them from receiving as much healing, which is cool. And then her ultimate is it's basically like Morales in Heroes. It's like a stim. So you get faster attack speed, you get more health, a health boost or something like that. So, I mean, she is a really cool character, but man, she's difficult to play. She's really, really hard.
Yeah. And that's the thing is with all the characters in Overwatch, they're all really cool. And without, like, playing that game 24/7, I probably won't be as proficient with some of the characters that I would be with others. And that's all right. I can enjoy them from afar. I can enjoy them through Blizzard's cinematics and comics and whatnot. I don't necessarily need to be playing that character to enjoy it. It is nice when they release a new character or put a new character out that really clicks with you. Like with Heroes of the Storm, it's nice that Tracer's out and I'm actually really enjoying her, as opposed to another character's out that looks cool, but I'm just not good at it, and this is not good, you know. So I'm hoping that they release not just Heroes in Overwatch that are catering to those folks who have been playing for a very long time, like making them more complex, as opposed to making some more entry-level characters for folks to pick. That would be really cool, and I think Blizzard will do that, but for them to start with a more advanced hero makes sense to kind of feed the hardcore a little bit, but hopefully they circle back around to people who aren't playing as much, like myself or you.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah.
So what else have you been playing? Because I feel like I have pretty much talked Blizzard to death. So what have you been playing outside of the Blizzard universe this week?
I'm just going to quickly talk about how computers, PC gaming, man, is it ever fun. Like, you can have a great time with PC gaming, and then sometimes it just falls flat on its face. Like, Smite has been a real big issue for months. I haven't been able to literally move in the game. Mm-hmm. I can queue into matches, and usually what happens is we stop playing for a long time and then come back to it and think, oh, we haven't played Smite in forever. I wonder why.
And, which is exactly, you know, what happened last week. So exactly. it was my birthday, so we decided to stream some Smite on Thursday night because we couldn't remember why we hadn't played in so long. And then we logged in and remembered, oh, right, because Ryan's game is totally borked. Mine seemed to fix itself for some reason, but Ryan still could not move when he went into the game. So
yeah,
you finally got a fix, though.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to know what the fix was?
Yes.
My Saturday morning... so pissed off. All Saturday morning, I was like working with support. I was like, you know what? Jim's right. I should follow through on this because I enjoy Smite. I put a lot of money into it and I want to play it again. Mm-hmm. I submit a ticket. They're like, well, try turning your antivirus off. And I'm like, all right, I'll disable my antivirus. I've never had an issue with antivirus, so I will do it. Doesn't work. And then I go forward and like, okay, that didn't work. And they say, well, try uninstalling the game and uninstalling your antivirus and then reinstalling the game. That didn't work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then they say, well, try completely removing the game using this software, CC cleaner, like clean your computer, and then reinstall the game and try a different antivirus. Like, we can't suggest which antivirus you use, but these one are have known issues. And it's like, it boggles my mind that they're actively telling me to disable my antivirus while installing software.
Well, and it's so funny that this is the problem. Like, there's... I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, right. How some people just have it and some people don't. Like, it's not like you all of a sudden got a new antivirus or changed anything. Yeah. It's not like we use the same antivirus stuff, because you and I even talked about that, but we had the same issue. Mine just randomly went away. Like,
sure.
Smite, fix your shit. Oh, well, my God.
And then finally, by the end of it, and I was getting real upset at the point where, like, do I ask for a refund? Like, of all, like, I don't think I can do that. And there's this expectation that games should continue to work if they're constantly being updated and I'm putting money into them.
Yeah. Well, that's so, the thing. Like, we are constantly putting money in, not to mention, like, we bought the God Pack, and it's not like Smite is a 5-year-old game that has no more support or anything like that. It's like, it's constantly, it's an esport, for God's sakes. Like, you just need to, you know, it's constantly being updated. Stuff's always being added. Things are being patched in. So there's an expectation that if you've paid for that game, and we have probably 20 times over, then, you know, like, there's an expectation that it's going to work.
Yeah. So at the end of all my frustrating keyboard banging, I eventually did what I think worked is I used an uninstaller app to remove everything of Smite, high res, everything off of the computer. I removed my antivirus and reinstalled Smite without an antivirus running, and it did work. I fixed it. It's working now. It must have been they said the antivirus might have been blocking some of the installer. Like, maybe there was an issue with a patch and that caused the issue. So it's fixed. And that's fine. And then I didn't play. I was so frustrated. I'm like, I'm not going to play this. And it better work the next time we load it up and try to play. And I did do a test just a couple days ago to make sure that it was still functional, and it was. But then I was playing Doom, and I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but with Doom, I was having a great time. I'm like 8 hours in, I'm nearing the end, and I'm having an amazing time. And I start getting these weird errors that the game just like minimizes to the desktop, as if I've clicked something in the background that has caused the game to go out of focus. And I'm like, I better not have a virus from uninstalling my antivirus to install Smite, because I like Smite, but not enough to have to reinstall Windows and clean my computer out. So I don't know what's going on with Doom. it sort of comes and goes, the issue. I don't know whether it's something to do with the, they released a new patch where it was like, they added.
So you fixed one game and broke another, basically.
I don't even know if it's broken. It's just really frustrating. Like, I've had to stop actively playing Doom because every 5 minutes I'll be like in the middle of this like arena where I'm killing a bunch of demons and having a great time and just shooting stuff, and I'm frantic. It's so quick. And then all of a sudden, just boom, minimize to desktop. And I'm like, ah, no, what's going on? And it just interrupts your flow of mm-hmm. gameplay, and really frustrating. So I don't know. This is why I appreciate the console world, because I don't have these issues mm-hmm. on console, but I do appreciate sort of the added features that a PC brings to gaming. It's a balancing act, though. Like, if you have this kind of experience with all your games, it was kind of a weird weekend of I'm really enjoying Doom, but this recent change. I've kind of got the issue under control a little bit by fiddling with some VSync issues and making sure there's no apps running in the background, because I thought maybe I was like interacting with apps in the background due to I don't know, computer stuff. Like maybe the game was like flickering and my mouse was. It does some weird stuff with mice, and you know, some folks in the chat room are saying like Doom is not a perfect game on PC. It's got some bugs, and they introduced like a new engine that you can switch to from OpenGL to this engine called Vulkan that I guess taps into the hardware more closely as opposed to going through. And there's like some hardcore computer people listening that are just cringing as I try to explain this, but it kind of just, it talks to the graphics card more directly and doesn't have to go through so many layers, which in the end makes it go faster. But yeah, I found that didn't help. And I'm just, there's a part of me that's worried that I've done something to my computer, and I'm hoping by saying it out loud, someone will email it and it's like, nah, Doom's just messed up. But it's the same issue. I'll Google like Doom minimizes randomly to desktop, and it's typical computer like forums that like one guy has the issue, but everyone's just talking about how Doom 3 was better. No, it wasn't. Doom 3 was terrible. Doom 2's the best. Doom 1 was actually the best. They never made a better game. Quake was really good. And yeah,
and you're like, I just want to fix my problem.
Exactly. And the same thing with Smite. It was the same issue where, you know, one person would start the thread and then a couple people would answer and offer feedback, and then it would just devolve into this like weird, no, Heroes of the Storm is better. Well, MOBAs are not that great. Well, MMOs are really good. And it's like, what is happening? Ah,
the internet happened, yeah. Ryan.
So you know what? I'm so close to the end. I'll finish it and I'll probably probably not go back to it. But yeah, Tanagos is right. Oh, forums, you so cray.
Yeah.
So cray.
So Fallout Shelter, what is that?
Fallout Shelter? Oh, we're just going to go through the list. We're just going to go all night, I guess.
It's on the overlay. We are talking about
Well, Fallout Shelter actually, I guess, launched on PC. And I'm not playing it on PC. They added some quest stuff to it as well. Fallout Shelter came out a year ago, mm-hmm. and I think it was during a time where I think publicly on this show I deleted it, saying I will never play these free to play sim games again because they devolve into click click click. Okay, I'll come back in 2 minutes. Click click click. I'll come back in 2 minutes, and it's happening again, and it's the same thing, and it's not fun. I don't know what I'm doing. It's because I haven't had time to sit down and play real games. Well, quote unquote real games. So it's the same thing with Pokemon Go. Like if I can't go for a walk because I'm busy watching Caden, but I can check in on my Fallout Shelter, do a couple things, and pop back out. And it's literally wasting time. Literally. So I don't recommend it, but they added some more stuff to it. But it quickly devolves into the same thing where you're sitting there and you either have an abundance of resources and you're just waiting for more caps, or you have a lack of resources and everybody's dying. I can't find that healthy medium where I'm progressing in the game faster than I'd like to, but it's been a decent distraction. And to see them add an update a year later and then release it on PC, you would think I would have checked it out on PC to try and get a different experience, but I don't know. It's nice to have something on my phone to play, so.
All right, so we just want to remind everybody that if you wanted to get some super cool Amove glasses, you can do so at bit.ly/Amove store. And basically, you can get all of the logos from your favorite A-Move shows on glassware. So there are wine glasses, there are pint glasses, there are coffee mugs. Ryan and I are actually getting a whole bunch because I am going down to CreateCon in a week. And so if you are going to be in the Orlando area, please make sure you have tickets to CreateCon. Come by and say hi. I would love to meet you. Unfortunately, Ryan can't make it, but I am picking up his glassware for him. And so I feel like we should, you know, just like have a pint in our gamers in pint glasses.
Yes, we will have a patron hangout in August, and we will enjoy pints in our pint glass.
It will be epic. If you want to be just like us, again, go to bit.ly/amovestore, which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is the mini Nintendo Entertainment System has been announced.
We did it.
Yep. It's pretty much the only kind of Nintendo hardware I can get behind, mostly because I feel like my 64 still works, my GameCube still works, my Super Nintendo, kind of sketchy, comes and goes, you know, sure. It really has to try pretty hard, but my NES is just not booting up. So basically for $60 American or $80 Canadian, you are going to get a replica, and it has 30 classic games on it, which is really, really cool. There's lots of titles in there that I remember and loved. There's some that I was never actually able to play at the time, so this is going to be really, really cool.
It's one of those things where I got the email from Nintendo saying, we're announcing this thing. And I'm like, okay, this is a joke, because Nintendo wouldn't put something like this out. It seems like you see these in Walmart or your Toys R Us all the time, where it's these like arcade shaped things, and they plug into your TV and you can play like games that have gone out of copyright, or they're cheap to pick up and add to a package. You've never seen anything like this from Nintendo, where usually you're buying these games on your Wii U or your Wii as virtual console titles, but this is completely different. Like, they've created a replica NES, small, like fits in the palm of your hands, and then replica controllers that you can then go out and buy a second one to play with your friends. And it kind of blew my mind, because it's like, I don't need this, but I really want it. And in terms of future-proofing, you kind of do need it, because I can't tell you whether my NES works. It's in a box at my parents' house, and I'm sure it's been dead for years. It looks really cool, but it'd be nice to have something that looks really cool and fits snugly, like, by the TV, you know? Because I would probably almost want one of these just to have on my desk, you know? Like, it looks really neat, and it's super nostalgia-driven, and the value of buying 30 games for $80 kind of works out as well, because most of these games, I think, are $8 a pop on the Wii U. So that's an incredible value just in that
sense. Yeah. And I mean, there's some really, really good titles in here too. This isn't like crap. There's Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, there's Super Mario Brothers, and then 2 and 3, there's Mario Brothers, there's, what else is here, Castlevania, Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario. I'm just like, these are the ones that I just know were big to me. Yeah. And there's so many Pac-Mans in here, Punch-Out.
Metroid,
yeah, like there's so many titles that are in here, so I can't wait for it. It's November 11th, I think, is when it comes out.
Yeah, so it's going to be the only title that Nintendo releases in the holiday holidays. Season.
And even though it is hardware, it is very, very affordable. So I can see this being on a lot of Christmas lists. I think Nintendo's finally making some good decisions.
Yeah, it's an odd decision that you wouldn't think they would ever do. And I don't even think it cannibalizes virtual console sales, because I think for folks, this thing will sell to people who have no interest in picking up a Wii U or even the NX right away. And it's probably a faster way to get more money out of people who may buy or rebuy the original Zelda or the original Mario, but not go out and buy $80 worth of virtual console titles. So it kind of makes sense that they put this out there, and I'm glad they're sort of seeing the light. And I would love for like a mini Super NES to come out next year, same time.
Which I think it probably will, depending on the success of this one. So if this goes gangbusters, I'm sure we'll see a Super Nintendo version, and then possibly even a 64 version, which would be really, really cool. But I think that it depends on how well this sells, and I think it's going to sell really well, because like Jim in the chat room is saying, he would buy a Super Nintendo version as long as it had two titles. There are two specific titles. He's saying Super Mario World and Chrono Trigger. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to do 30 titles per platform, then you're probably going to hit on those. And the fact that Jim would pay $80 for two titles, like, yeah. And basically the console to play them on. And that's really key because, like I said, as time goes on, these old consoles, like, we might still have them, but there's a good chance that they're not going to work. So, you know, like, especially the stuff that is cartridge-based. So, you know, the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, and the 64, all of them over time are going to just stop working. Yeah. So having something that is affordable, at like an $80 price point, I think is bang on perfect for 30 titles.
That's a price of a new game here. And $60 exactly. US is the price of a new game in the States. So it's right on par with where you need it to be. Mm-hmm. I could see Nintendo maybe saying, well, maybe we should sell it for 100, you know, we could probably get 100. And I think 100 is almost at that point where your brain starts to say, maybe not right away, but eventually. Yeah. And I could see with the Super NES version, maybe doing 20 classic games and keeping the value, the price point the same, just mm-hmm. based on virtual console prices, Super NES games being more expensive than NES games. And I'm
are they? I definitely have not paid that much attention to it that I would know that.
Yeah, they are more expensive. I think a NES game's like $8, and then a Super NES is 12, and then the N64 are 20. Mm-hmm. I'm probably butchering that, but they are expensive. more expensive. That's the issue. It's the Nintendo price point where you think that's a couple bucks more than I would have just paid without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And this is not that Nintendo, and I'm pleasantly surprised. Again, doing something that people who normally dislike Nintendo decisions saying this is a smart move, and I'm glad the internet accepted it with open arms.
Yeah. And I even the price point of the secondary controller, because you said like to get the player two, and it's only $10, which I mean
that's crazy.
There's not much to the controller, so I'm glad that it's not 30-40 bucks, but yeah, so you can pick up that second player controller for $10. So again, very affordable. You can get your single player experience for $80, or you can play with a friend for $90. Like, pretty much a no-brainer. Like, if you're already going out to spend the $80, the second controller is a no-brainer. So I think, they've finally done something really, really cool. Yeah.
It'll be good to see how it goes and where they go forward with it, because I would love to see them do it with every one of their consoles. Like, do an N64 version. Maybe it costs more because the controller is harder to replicate, but I would gladly take less games for an equal price point of a sort of a replica, because I think even if you did 10 games, you'd be hitting the sweet spots of the Marios, the Zeldas, the Metroids, the
Mario Karts, and the Golden Eyes, and the Perfect Darks, and I agree. What's this one last thing that you thrown in here? Battleborn in a Humble Bundle already? Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. So Humble Bundle's doing a 2K bundle in which I scroll down and it's like, okay, typical titles, Darkness 2, Duke Nukem. Civ 5 is kind of a neat way to experience that game before Civ 6 comes out. And then I see a Battleborn skin, and then I see Battleborn for literally $15, which is kind of crazy. This game came out in May, and not to put Humble Bundle down, but usually the games that are featured in their bundles are of the older variety and of a way to get a bunch of games at a cheaper cost while supporting some great charities. And they are really trying to push Battleborn out there, like for $15 with all these other great games. And you're not just getting Battleborn, you're getting 230 currency. Platinum coins, which I'm sure buys you skins and stuff, but also Borderlands the pre-sequel. It's like it's like they're like, please, let's get Battleborn out there so we can make Borderlands 3. I might pick it up at this point, because I keep thinking, like, man, $40 is a pretty good value for this game that just came out. Oh, $30? Oh, now $15? And I don't know what's happening. Yeah. I'm worried, but I'm also like, I kind of want to play this game now. So maybe it'll work out.
That's it's kind of crazy that it's only $15. Like, just, oh man, that's crazy though. So if you guys are wondering, it's humblebundle.com/2k-games-bundle. So make sure you check that out if you are interested in Battleborn at all, because not only is it an amazing price, but obviously it goes to charity as well. So check it out.
Yep.
Think that does it for us tonight. Just wanted to remind everyone that we do have our patron hangout. That is tomorrow. We're going to do it at 8 p.m. Eastern because we are still below our goal for our video game streaming. But I think Ryan and I are going to do the patron hangout and then probably stream for about an hour or so afterwards. So check that out at twitch.tv/JossPlays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. We would like to thank our new patron. Our new patron this week is Alex. Thank you so much for supporting us over at patreon.com/thegamersin. We actually got some listener feedback from Val this week. So, Ryan, did you want to take this?
Quickly, yeah. Hi, guys. I rented Overwatch for a week, and I never fell in love with that game. I think that unless you play with people whom you can communicate with, that game is not really fun. I wasn't good at it, so I played Mercy like every single guide to the game recommends. But while Mercy is an important asset in a match, she has no defense whatsoever, and it was frustrating to be taken down all the time by players who are way OP. For a game that focuses on team play, I found that at the beginning of the game, everyone went off in every single direction and did their own thing, which wasn't fun as well. Also, I don't get the game. Every single promotional video showed the characters fighting a bunch of robots, and yet we end up fighting each other. I was fascinated by the characters and the style of the characters. Blizzard built this whole universe that seems super fun, and we don't get to play in it because there is no storyline or single-player mode. As always, love the show, Val. So, kind of highlighting the issues that I have with the game, where you're thrown into this skirmish that doesn't exist within the timeline, and you feel like you want to experience the story, but you're only getting snippets of it in these like little lines. And I can see someone, it's similar to the World of Warcraft cinematic trailers, where it's like, oh man, I want to play that game, and then you get in and it looks nothing like that. And it's not necessarily false advertising, it's more just displaying the game in a digestible format and then not really showing gameplay. And I think with Overwatch, they kind of bridge that gap a little better in that it looks like gameplay, but it's still not the game that they're showing. It's sort of this scenario that they've set up for a YouTube video. So, but I don't know if I would recommend Mercy as your first character you play, unless you're playing with people who have played the game before and know how to play as a team. I would probably recommend like Soldier 76 as a first character. Just because he's the sort of the shooter guy, and I'm trying to think.
Soldier 76 bridges the gap, I think, between other shooters and Overwatch. You have obviously a couple of abilities like you do with every different character in the game, but at the same time, you're shooting a gun. Like there's no special hook to it. Even your ult is basically just an aimbot, so it's easy to wrap your head around if you've played other shooters. Yeah. I think if you've played, I'm trying to think, if you're coming from MMOs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I would say, like maybe a Torbjorn or a Bastion, or if you are looking to heal. I do think Mercy is easy because you don't necessarily have to aim with Mercy the same way. Mm-hmm. You get your beam on them, and then you can like, there's a little bit of, you can focus on your movement, which I think you have to, because you have to kind of be aware of the fact that your team might not be good at being in good places for you as a Mercy. So you have to be able to get around corners. It's like, it's her mobility, right? So
yeah.
I think that that Mercy is a good choice. And it's really funny that Val is basically having the exact opposite experience to what I am having, because she's enjoying playing with people she can talk to, and I'm enjoying solo queuing because I think she likes the ability to coordinate with her team. I like the ability to be placed with people who are at my level skill-wise. Right. Like I can make up for a badly coordinated team, but I can't make up for a gigantic skill gap between me and even the people on my team,
right,
let alone, you know, the people on the other team. So
Yeah, but then on the other hand, when you're starting the game, it can be like Smite. It can be helpful to have that sort of guide in your ear to kind of say, "Okay, definitely. Follow me." And but where you're at single queuing makes sense in that you understand the game. You're good with some heroes. Let's go in with people of my skill level and have fun. And I've done solo queuing as well, and I'm at the same point where I'm enjoying solo queuing because I'm being matched with people of my skill level. But yeah, starting out, it can be tough just jumping in on your own because you're sort of stuck in that silence of not having, you know, friends to bounce ideas off of and feedback, because there are heroes in this game where if you're not really paying attention to what's happening, and I've been guilty of this, you're not actually aware of how to properly play that character. So like Tolbjorn, I had no idea that you had to hammer the turret to level it up. And I realized that after a couple matches, and there are little things like that that it makes the game more fun when you don't have to sort it out yourself and you have someone say, "Oh, but did you know?" Mm-hmm. I think that's really helpful, but I can't help but agree with Val that there's this great story being crafted, and it's being, I'll say, wasted on not like a gameplay mode. Like, we need something. Wasted is a strong word, but
we've gone into that.
We've covered that already previously in this episode.
But I think we definitely agree with you, Val. Thank you so much for sending in your feedback. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVE TV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Pokemon Go, the WoW pre-patch, the new hero in Overwatch, or potentially your issues with PC gaming and incompatibility and everything else that Ryan had issues with this week.
Yeah, big episode.
Please, please, please send us emails to info@gamersandpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Actually, don't tune in next week, because I'm not even 100% sure if we're having a show, because I will be traveling for CreateCon.
Oh, we should talk about that off air.
We probably should talk about that. So maybe potentially tune in next week. Definitely tune in the week after that.
Man, that's coming up quick. Oh my God, July, where'd you go?
I know. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.